folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Teresa, I had a coaching session this week about buy versus build conversations in product management. And it was a productive session, so we shared tips and tricks and discussed certain approaches. But I was wondering, what's your take on it? Because I think it's a conversation that keeps coming up in every organization and in every product management career. So maybe we can record an episode on that, and maybe you could start with sharing your take on it, and I'm happy to add mine later on.
Yeah, actually, I've been thinking about this a lot because I think AI and like AI prototyping and how easy it is to build with AI now is kind of changing the equation, but I don't think as much as people think. So I'm going to share some personal experience, and I'm going to give some examples, and then we can use this to like unpack the product question of build versus buy.
Go ahead.
Last summer, I shifted from WordPress to Ghost. And in the process, I posted on LinkedIn, like before I picked Ghost, I posted on LinkedIn and I said, what blog newsletter platforms do people recommend? And somebody wrote, you're geeking out on AI. Why not just vibe code one yourself? My reaction to that was like, why in the world would I build my own blog platform? Like, there's a billion out there. They're all adequate. This is, I mean, my content is core to my business, but like the platform it runs on is not really core to my business. And so it was a little bit surprising to me. And I was like, wow, this is like, I mean, I could see if it sounded fun as a fun project to me, maybe I would do it. But like, talk about an ongoing maintenance nightmare that I would not want. And then about a month later, I actually built my own task management system using Cloud Code and Obsidian. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. They were like, what is wrong with the 4,000 to-do list apps out there? Like, why are you building your own?
And so this had no brain.
Yeah. So this got me really thinking about build versus buy. And I think like, I think about it. I'll talk about how I traditionally have thought about it and now how like AI has changed it. So I think traditionally I thought about it as like, if you're on a product team and you need a tool that is not core to the value you deliver to customers, you should buy that tool. You should not spend product and engineering and design time on something that is not core to your value stream. That's crazy to me.
I could add to that in a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think there is one exception, which is it can still be core to the value that you're about to deliver, but technology-wise, your engineering team is not equipped to maintain it or to do it. And hiring would take way longer than basically buying this piece of your entire process, which is mainly true for SaaS B2B software. But still, that is usually one exception from the rule that I'm tolerating.
I think you misunderstood me. I wish I could like write it out in like a logic statement, because we have like a, I'm going to say a really nerdy thing, like a subset misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
true. If of all the decisions that could be made, what I was saying is if the tool that you need is not core to your value stream, you should not build it yourself.
Then it's a no-brainer. Okay, right? Get it. Yeah.
I think when we look at the set of things that are core to your value stream, now I think there's a couple different questions to ask. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you have the requisite skills and abilities to build this? Is there a player in the market that is way better at you than this? Like, what comes to mind is payments. Like, nobody builds payments anymore. We all use Stripe, right? Because Stripe is way better at payments than we're going to be on any reasonable timeline. So those are sort of some of the traditional decisions. Like, if it's satellite to your business, to your core value, you probably don't want to build it yourself. If it is critical to your core value, you want to look at, like, what would it cost to build and maintain it yourself? Is there a vendor out there that can build and maintain it for you? What's the quality of that vendor?
Is it a competitive risk if you partner and buy something? Because maybe your competitors are buying from them as well.
Yep. So like my course platform, very core to my business. I used to be on Teachable. Mm-hmm. It was a huge nightmare. Melissa Perry, Pragmatic Institute. Product Institute. Sorry, Melissa. Product Institute. Product Institute also used to be on Teachable, core to her business. I looked at it and was like, I got to get the hell off Teachable, but I don't want to build it myself. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. And mm-hmm. I went and found a platform that does work for me and I don't have to think about it. And it has an API.
Melissa went all in and built a whole thing.
Melissa made a different decision. And I'm not suggesting Melissa's decision is wrong. Melissa built her own course platform behind Product Institute because she had all these big ideas she wanted to do that a third-party vendor couldn't do.
Yeah.
Whereas I was able to find a third-party vendor that would support what I wanted to do. And so those are, that's like a key distinction. Okay, so now how do I think AI is changing this? So like, let's go back to my blog software versus my task management tool. So I could find a blog software. So blogging is core to my business. It's my primary marketing channel. Content is a big part of my business. It's now becoming even a revenue stream with blog subscriptions. But there are plenty of platforms out there that meet all of my needs. So like it never occurred to me I could build my own. Okay, now let's look at task management. Task management, it's not tied to the core value that I deliver to my customers. So like it should fall in that bucket of, I should absolutely buy this. The problem is for task management, for me personally, it's really integrated into my notes. So what do I mean by that? When I'm working on a task, I put all of my notes related to that task on the task card. So when I was using Trello, which used to be my task management software, I would write all these notes on the Trello card. And suddenly all of my notes that are at the core of my business, all this knowledge is locked into Trello. That started to concern me. I went through this previously. I used to be an Evernote user.
Yeah, we and have I saved a long everything history in Evernote. And own your content.
I used to be an OmniFocus user and I would put a ton of content into OmniFocus. And the difference for me is that task management, especially if you're like me and it's intertwined with your notes, the workflow is so idiosyncratic. Everybody is unique, which is, by the way, why we have 1,000 note to-do apps. And the process I want to follow is so simple that I was able to design a solution for me in like 3 days. I was able to refine it in like a week. I've literally never had to touch it again since. And the outcome is all of that business knowledge, all those notes, and all that history lives on my personal device that I can sync across my devices through Dropbox.
I see how for your personal use case, this is, so AI is changing the dynamic. Are there use cases you could think about where this is true for companies as well? Because you found one solution for one particular problem that you personally had.
Yep.
Both you and I know we need to scale in organizations.
Here's the underlying
use cases.
Here's my underlying principle. I think for me, the reason why task management fell into the category of build, even though it should have been in the buy category based on my first rule, it's not core to how I deliver value, is because of the underlying data. I wanted to own the data. I wanted to manage the data myself. I wanted to design how the data worked. And I think what AI is changing is how important data is becoming.
Yeah, and this is an important distinction. So I'm really glad that you brought this up because many, many people listening now will have these conversations right now about if it's okay to use OpenAI for that and deliver all the company's data to them or to Copilot or to any of the other tools, right? If you want to own your data, then you have to look at that differently. And then your make versus buy conversation is an entirely different dynamic. Yeah,
so like,
I agree.
Let's say you have a customer database. Are you building it? Or are you buying it? Well, a lot of us have bought things like Salesforce. We've bought things like HubSpot. If today I was running a bigger company and I was looking at those tools, the very first question I would ask is, how portable is my data? Mm-hmm. And I know that all these tools allow exports, but you got to really look at the exports.
Yeah, like, you're super locked in.
What format is it in? Is it everything? And I mean comments and attachments, like everything. And if it's not, are you willing to let go of owning and managing that data? Because that is what you are choosing to do. Or is that data so core to your business that you need to be looking at either building yourself or just building a data connection to those tools?
Yeah, and that is truly changing due to AI and the possibilities that we now have with vibe coding and building things cheaper than ever before. Because so far, companies didn't have... So you use Salesforce for many, many reasons and many, many use cases, not only one single thing usually. And then you were so locked into the systems and it was so hard to get rid of them again. And now I could picture a future where companies take on these bits and pieces of their workflow and processes again and create more individualized tools for supporting their businesses.
I mean, what I hope happens, like I still feel like the SaaS part of this is important. Like no company is going to replicate Salesforce or HubSpot themselves very, very well. What I hope is with this change, it creates pressure on these companies to make our data portable.
Yeah.
Right? Because like if I'm a small startup, I'm not paying for one of those products. I want to own my data, especially my early customer data. Right? So then at what point do my needs tip over to where I need a third-party solution? And now by the time I get to that point, I'm used to owning my data and doing whatever I want with my data. So are buyer needs changing? So even if the build versus buy formula doesn't change, once if you decide you're a buyer, are you looking for different things? And I think that's an open question.
And that is an open question. Or they lock and use us even more. You never know about this big corporates and what their reaction is going to be.
Tech always finds a way to lock you in more, right?
Yeah, exactly. But what I think is maybe happening is that companies that don't need the entire Salesforce stack, for example, go for smaller solutions. And these smaller solutions are more likely to be built with building becoming cheaper and easier. DocuSign, for example, is this one first example where somebody just like did what DocuSign does, replicated it with AI, and is now selling it and earning millions. Sorry, DocuSign. And of course, this is a super simple and simple, but a lesser complex use case than Salesforce is.
Well, I think
we'll see more of that.
I think the part people misunderstand about this, like DocuSign's a great example. So now there's another company that like AI vibe coded a solution. I'm going to guess that solution, even if it's making millions, is not equivalent to DocuSign. Because what
most
makes...
Most likely, but people maybe didn't need all the functionality.
Well, but here's the thing, like what makes DocuSign is they've been around for a long time. And as part of being around for a long time, they had to drive growth for a long time, which means they constantly had to go after additional customer segments, which required building more product.
More stuff.
So it's great that this other person, from an individual standpoint, made a product that's making money. But my guess is they target a tiny sliver of DocuSign's customer base. So like, I'm not really worried about DocuSign yet. And I think that's also an important thing to recognize. Like as a company, if you're thinking about build versus buy, be really clear about how complicated your build scenarios are, because you have more complex business logic than you realize. And a vendor might be in a better position to handle that than you yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And then be really honest about your engineering capabilities as well. That's a bit off topic now, but that's another thing that I so often see going sideways, because product then collaborates with engineering to figure out if it's built versus buy and if engineering can build it. And to some extent, engineers these days tend to say like, we can build everything. Yeah. Tell us what we should do. We can build everything. But can they really build the thing that you are currently having in mind buying in a way that the user experience is where it should be? And and with all this browser technology, blah, 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 evolving, it's sometimes more complicated than maybe the engineer team thinks, and maybe more complicated than the skills the engineering team has. So I think a really open and honest conversation, including some tech spikes, maybe, to see if they really could build it, would help to de-risk the make or buy decision as well. Because, and I don't want to blame this on the engineering teams, I think it's really amazing that they're motivated by something to build and that they really hopeful that they can and super confident that they can. But this needs a bit of de-risking as well in a proper make versus buy discovery initiative, I'd say.
I do think that when making a build versus buy decision, it's no different than comparing and contrasting options in discovery. So you should be breaking them down into underlying assumptions. You should be assumption testing, including feasibility testing on the build side. But even on the buy side, right? We get really excited about a vendor and we didn't test anything. I'll tell you, like when I was evaluating course platforms, I signed up for 30-day free month trials and I actually tried to implement my business using their APIs before I decided who I was going to buy. Because I wanted to make sure, like I really wanted to test the platforms and make sure it was going to work for what I needed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did with my course platform as well, or my course buying platform. Because how should you otherwise check on their promises? Because marketing, it's always just marketing.
And it just takes one little detail that works differently than how you need it to work for, as we talked about
the session on that, like international invoicing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Glad we talked about this, Teresa.
Yeah, good topic. Thank you.